Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Hello and welcome into the Cubs Talk podcast, sponsored by Wintrust. Head to Wintrust.com/Cubs for more information. I'm Jeff Nelson, pregame and postgame producer here with Tony Andracki, Kelly Krull, and the original Johnny Hustle, David Kaplan.
That's right.
Yeah.
Still doing it.
Just got in from
day
one
in
job
and
into another. So let's start with Johnny Hustle, or Johnny Lack of Hustle, Manny Machado. I mean, you get a reputation around the league. Is that something that would scare you as a potential free agent, a team looking to sign somebody?
You know, we had this discussion on radio this morning, and I just got done talking to someone who's prominent in MLB, and I said, would you sign Manny Machado? He said, no, I would not, because I wouldn't sign up any player that I could think of for $300 million.
He said, but somebody will.
Oh, mm-hmm. He said that. But he goes, I said, someone's going to give it to him. He goes, yeah, and it wouldn't be me. He said, but I think Manny's immature, where he said, I think Bryce Harper is a more selfish player. He said, so if I had to pick one of the two, I'd still take Manny Machado over Bryce Harper.
I'm curious, why did he think that? Did he elaborate on why he thought Harper was selfish?
Yeah, he thinks that he is all about him. He said the fact that when they left Wrigley last year after game four, he posted a picture, see you soon, Wrigley, and named his dog Wrigley. He said it's all about him. He said he's a talented player. He goes, I would never sign him.
I guess I could see if I was a Harper's teammate, that may be something that I as I'm driving away, looking at my Twitter feed, I'm like, what?
Tony remembers this. Chris Bryant said that he eats up the drama and the entertainment value of it. He loves playing with fans. He loves stirring the pot. So I don't know. I'd be curious. Is that really coming from a selfish place? I mean, he obviously, the guy you spoke to, definitely thinks so. Or is it coming from a place of he just gets a rise out of, like, having a good time with it? But for the longest, I thought of the two, Machado made a much more sense for the Cubs. He was the better fit, in my opinion. But I don't like this at all. I think it's a horrible look. I think for a manager like Maddon, who preaches respect 90, you can't have a guy that says, well, I'm the superstar. I'm pulling my superstar card on this one, and I'm just not.
Yeah, I'm not Johnny Hustle.
Yeah. I'm not Johnny Hustle.
I mean, this is not
his cup of tea.
What?
Yeah.
As Maddon's drinking his green tea, meeting with the media every morning, Manny Machado's not drinking Hustle tea.
But we've also seen other guys not hustle out of the box. It happens
Hulk
every
Hulk Conurco never ran down to first.
Yeah. You think of the Wilson Contreras play from the last month of the season where he wound up getting a double, but he was admiring
it. I think it was more of the fact that he pimped it and it didn't go out rather than the lack of hustle. Because the lack of hustle there, it didn't end up resulting in anything. But I think it was the attitude, and that we've kind of seen a little bit of that from Wilson before, and it's like, dude, you haven't hit a homer in 2 months. Why are you pimping anything? Like, hit the homer, round the bases, pimp the next one.
But to his credit, when he stands in front of the media and they ask him the question, he right away apologizes. He says he knew he was wrong. He's a young kid. He knows he made a mistake. And he says this, whereas Manny Machado, that may be the scariest part of all this, is how unself-aware he is in this moment to look at Ken Rosenthal and be like, yeah, that's just not me. At least say the right thing, if you're not going to do
Javi did the same thing earlier in the season against the Pirates. Didn't run out of pop-up, and he was told right away, and Javi was very contrite right afterwards.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. If I said to you, that guy's not going to run a lot of balls hard to first,
but he's going to hit 330.
But he's going to hit 330 with 118 RBIs, and he's going to hit 42 bombs at Wrigley.
So he gets the superstar pass. Yes. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying I'd sign him. I'm just asking, would you sign him?
Didn't we live this before in Alfonso Soriano? I just, in my back of my brain, I just remember Bob Brenly looking at him, going, yelling, run!
With Machado, I think his hustle shows up in different times. So you're talking about game four. some of the hustle came out in game three. Game four, he posted the fifth fastest sprint time that he had all year, rounding from second to home on the game-winning run.
Yeah, which was a great slide.
Right. That was a great hustle play. I mean, Bellinger hit that ball hard to right. You're only scoring if you hustle. So he hustled when it mattered the most. So I know that he said the wrong thing, like you said, Kelly. Mm-hmm. He did the wrong thing in not hustling. But, yeah, I'm with you, Cap. I mean, this is a guy that I don't think his value went down. And part of why I think he said the wrong thing is that it's not the wrong thing. Like around baseball nowadays, you look at the percentage of a guy hustling. I mean, what is it? 3% of the time, maybe hustling matters. Maybe 3%. And with all the numbers and everything else, all the sabermetrics out there now, they could probably point to it, and somebody way smarter than I am in any of these front offices can look and be like, yeah, you know what? If you hustle down to first base every single time, it actually results on the field 3% of the time, like a 3% increase. I don't know if that matters.
Him stepping on Jesus Aguilar's foot concern you?
Bush League.
Yes. But probably more concerning, I think, than the hustle might be that, because that's a sign of immaturity.
To your point, though, I still think that I totally buy into that, and I think most guys buy into that. I think any sport will tell you there's certain plays or whatever they take, you know, if you got them off the record, they might tell you, yeah, there's certain plays I take off, I conserve energy here and there, but I still don't think you go out and you say it. That's where I think it was wrong. Like, you know, I just think any competitor
knows
better than to just tell someone.
His agent had to be going, dude, stop.
Fine if you don't, but don't tell anyone you're not. Like, what?
He cares so much about the image of his hair, but he doesn't care about the image that's going to come out. Like, I agree with you. That was silly.
Maybe something was pulled too tight, or the gel was seeping in. It's just
something.
All right. So if now Manny Machado, let's say we were going to rule him out. He's not the kind of guy. He's not Joe Respect 90. What do the Cubs do at shortstop this coming season? Because Addison Russell is going to miss the first month of the season. So what happens now?
Go ahead, Cap. Go ahead.
I would think that's Javi Baez at shortstop. The question for me is, do you bring Addison Russell back? Because if you give him away, you release him, you're getting rid of an asset. You're getting rid of a guy who's a talented player who maybe if all the personal stuff is dealt with, he's punished, he might become a pretty good player. I don't know.
I think
what he did was awful.
Yes.
I think this shortstop question that you just asked, Nelly, I think that's this the most underrated storyline in the Cubs offseason that nobody knows the answer to yet. So, yeah, Harper, Machado, all this, you know, what they're going to do possibly as closer of the bullpen. But this shortstop thing, because Javi's the easy answer for the first month. But the Addison part is this one huge factor. And Theo Epstein has already said they feel that they need to support him as an organization. That would not be supportive to just release him or to trade him off right away. That's not supportive.
Right.
But the other aspect is, so yeah, if it's not, regardless, he's missing April, or if he misses anything after that, the Cubs depth chart at shortstop is not pretty much non-existent in the organization.
And I looked at this. Why don't you tell people at home who maybe are listening that don't know? I mean, because we saw two of them this year come up, and David Bote, that's who they had in AAA doing it at times, and then go ahead.
Mike Freeman, a guy who's not even considered a quad A player, which is not an insult to him. He's just been a career minor leaguer, 31 years old. So, yeah, Bote has only played a handful of games. He played, I think, 14 in the minors in AAA this year. So it's that, Mike Freeman. Ben Zobrist has done it before, but he'll be 38.
Mm-hmm. Chris Bryant, and the way Madden, Joe tries to dole out Zobrist's playing time.
Right. I can't imagine Zobrist is there.
Second baseman.
So Chris Bryant, Joe Madden has joked about it. I don't know if he actually would go that route. But, I mean, there's like nothing else. There's Chesney Young. There's 31-year-old career minor leaguer Ryan Cord. There's Zach Short, who's 23 and never played above Double A.
It's safe to say whoever it is not in the organization if it's
exactly.
Not
exactly. So, but with the way Javi plays, you have to have backup, at least for April, because he's one play away from missing a month.
He's a head first dive into first base.
Mm-hmm.
He'll
do it.
Going into the hole, diving into the stands kind of guy that high risk, which high reward, high risk, but you really need a backup, and there's nobody. That's the problem.
Well, so what are the Dodgers doing since they have a surplus of everything? I mean, do they choose Machado over Seager?
No. No chance.
Okay. So are they keeping them both?
I think Machado's out of there.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
Who else fits? Who else is out there?
I mean, there are obviously different things you could do, but I think they probably would target like a proven MLB glove first guy at the very least, so that if something happened to Javi, or if you give him breaks, we talk so much about rest, Javi's going to need rest even in April. So at least you don't lose anything defensively, and maybe it's a guy Madden can hit ninth. But I think the Addison Russell thing is big, because so let's just say for the sake of this, Addison comes back. So in May, he's able to play again. Is Javi then the shortstop and Addison is depth moving forward, or does Addison immediately go back to shortstop?
Or do you put Addison at second base, depending if Javi's proved himself to be – and we know he could play shortstop, but is he a long-term answer there? Is he a better fit at shortstop than he is at second base? We've seen Addison having shoulder problems in the past.
Yeah.
Does that take the wear and tear from the deep throw in the hole – so just a short throw. So we know he could play second because that's what he did when he came up in the league until they made the move with Bench and Starlin Castro.
I think Javi Baez, I think we've heard it before, he's the shortstop of the future for this team. I think they have to find a solution at second, and I don't think Addison Russell is – my opinion is that I don't think Addison Russell will stay with this organization much longer.
So do you think they'll move him this winter?
I think they're going to try.
But what would you get in?
I don't know.
Because you always, Theo always talks about trying to sell guys at their highest point.
Right. Show him support. So I don't know what that means, if they'll keep him through then until next year. I really don't know.
We saw it a year ago with when everybody talking about Kyle Schwarber. He had such a down season in 2017 that the return you would have gotten for Kyle Schwarber was so low that it really wouldn't be bringing back what you thought it was. I can't imagine the bottom of what you're going to get for Addison Russell being any lower than it is right now. A personal problems, be a bad season. Mm-hmm. See, you're going to miss the first month of the 2019 season. Now, granted,
so maybe they do keep him another year.
Yeah,
and see what they can get for him.
Or trade him next summer. That might be the best thing.
Do you guys think they're going to sign one of the two big free agents?
Yes,
you do.
I think Harper.
Yeah, more I think about it, I do not think they're going to sign
either. I don't think they will.
We could talk a little bit more about this and elaborate, but what I think they need more than anything in this lineup is fear, because the fear factor evaporated in 2018, mostly because of Chris Bryant's left shoulder.
I was going to say, you fear Chris Bryant, though, if he's healthy, do you not?
You do, and obviously Rizzo and Javi are this level of fear and stuff too, but I think there were so many holes in the Cubs lineup, and at various points guys disappeared that, like, there were 2 week stretches that Javi was not a fearsome hitter. Mm-hmm. That Anthony Rizzo, we saw it for longer stretches than we've ever seen in 2018. He was not a fearsome hitter. Whereas a guy like Harper or Machado, either of those guys go in the lineup, that is fear. And you are worried about that guy regardless of what
he's done.
Too
much money for me.
Well, okay.
Like, I'm looking up here on my phone. So if I told you could have a third baseman that has 27 home runs, knocked in 92, and hit .297 with a .328 OBP and an .855 OPS, and he made $500,000, is Manny Machado $29 million better than Miguel Andujar?
Defensively, when you factor in the defense and everything else?
$29 million a year more.
No, I'm just saying he's significantly better, but the money at this point, like, does it really matter? Because Andujar is going to keep getting more expensive too.
Yeah. But so then what else, what can you do? Because you can put Schwarber and you can put Happ and you can put these guys together in a package, but who are you going to go get then?
That's a good question.
Because that's your alternative, right? If you're not going to go pay for one of those two, your other alternative is go find somebody great. With the help of
Let's
take a break. Let's let them get their thoughts, and we'll get their answers. We'll be right back on the Cubs Talk Podcast.
Cubs Authentic Fans, the My Teams app by NBC Sports is your home for Cubs highlights, articles, and more. For the best Cubs coverage anytime, anywhere, download the My Teams app today.
All right, welcome back into the Cubs Talk Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about if you don't get Harper or Machado, where do the Cubs go in free agency, and what areas do you look at more? Tony, you have anybody out there that you really are high on that could be kind of fly under the radar, not be the guy, but be a fairly solid piece?
No, I mean, nobody in specific, but I do think that they're going to make changes to this lineup this offseason. I mean, and if it's not Harper Machado, which even if they go all in, regardless of the money, as we talked about, anything else, they just might not get him. The Yankees might pay Machado more than the Cubs are willing to, or some other team might pay Harper more than the Cubs. You know what I mean? So, like, regardless of if they went all in, they still might not end up with him.
I guess that's something Cubs fans aren't used to, because it seems like in the past, in the Theo and Jed,
they get who they want.
They go after somebody, they get them. You want John Lester? Oh, we got him. You want Jason Hayward? Oh, we got him. Yu Darvish? We got him. I mean, it's not always going to work out the way it the Cubs favor. So, Cap, what other areas do you look at?
I mean, for me, you don't have a championship caliber outfield. You just don't. Jason Hayward in right with Albert Elmore and Ian Happ and then Kyle Schwarber, please. That's not even the best outfield in your division. Now, I'll argue with you, it might not be the second best outfield in your division.
Defensively, I mean, outside of left, defensively, those Elmore and Hayward doesn't get
about
a whole lot better, but
offensive
you're talking about
productivity.
Offensively, their productivity as well.
So do I play Jason Hayward in center? Because I don't see how you move his money.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to pick up his option. No, just kidding.
Whose option?
Jason Hayward, his player option for this offseason.
He could walk, exactly. maybe you move him to center. Albert Elmore is his backup. You put Happ in a deal. Tony likes Harper. You could put him out there. I wouldn't give somebody $300 million. It's not my money.
Yeah. What if they
and
don't
I put Chris
that?
Bryant in left and I trade Schwarber?
So you trade Schwarber and Happ?
Yeah.
For pitching? Like, not position,
but pitching.
Starting pitching or relief pitching, pitching prospects?
You got to see what the market is for those guys. Kyle Schwarber is going to bring you back more than you think. As a pure DH in the American League?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, he's a 30 home run, 85 RBI guy. Good guy in your room.
Great guy. Yeah, I mean,
I think you'll get more for him than people think.
Yeah. And, Kelly, the one thing we were talking about earlier is that what the Cubs haven't had these past few years is an actual prototypical leadoff hitter.
Yeah, that was the thing. I was talking to Tony. I mean, not a short list, but on the long list, the leadoff hitter, I mean, we saw when Daniel Murphy first came in at the end of the year with this team what it can look like. But, again, you got to have somebody, as Tony pointed out, who can do that on righties and lefties.
A.J. Pollock.
I like the thought of someone who can set the table. I like someone who's taking a lot of pitches at the top of the lineup. Even when Ben Zobrist was up there for a while, I liked the look of it a little bit more. But he's not going to play at 38. He's just not going to play every day. So, yeah, who can do that? But, again, that was at a point where the depth of what should have looked like such a lengthy lineup, it just didn't because of the way guys were producing. Now, if these guys turn around and Wilson Contreras – might be the most important, as Tony and I were talking about, might be the most important offseason, even more so than, I mean, yes, Chris Bryant coming back healthy, but Wilson Contreras has to come back and be just a shadow of what we saw 2 years ago. I mean, he
Agreed.
Is a huge, huge part.
But their number one prospect's also a catcher. Let's not forget that.
That's true, but he's a couple years away.
Probably.
So in terms of 2019 World, 2020 World
Well, you know
World
what that
Series
means
hopes.
Is the stock of Victor Caratini then. Maybe he did something for them this year.
And maybe
in terms of a deal.
I could see him in a deal where you
that's
go get
I'm
a
saying.
Veteran backup to be with Wilson.
Right, a veteran backup that's not Chris Gimenez or Bobby Wilson, like a guy that could actually
like
spell
Alex
Wilson.
Like Alex Avila was when he was here.
And he was a great fit. I mean, a lefty, that was a huge key. That's what Caratini's basically a lefty because they don't like him facing, you know, left-handed pitchers as a right-handed hitter. But, yeah, I mean, the fact that Caratini – he's still so raw that I question whether he would be the backup next year. Now, right now, there's no reason to get rid of him. But, yeah, if somebody's interested and somebody comes calling, sure. And then go get a guy like Avila or somebody else as a backup catcher. But I do think that's probably like 9 or 10 in terms of the Cubs offseason wish list.
Long list.
Yeah.
One thing that's probably out there a little bit more is bullpen help. Now, how much do you want – The idea basically is you don't go out and spend major money on a bullpen arm. You just kind of hope to get a few pieces and get them through. But are they to a point where they want to spend a little bit more money?
Well, there's some names out there. I mean, Zach Britton is 31. He's healthy again. Zach Britton's a left-hander with a power arm.
And Andrew Miller's out there too, right?
He is. He's had knee problems. He's a little bit older. Andrew Miller's going to turn 35. But Zach Britton's 31. You've got to get another closer in there as an option for Brandon Morrow. Cody Allen is only 30. Craig Kimbrell is 31. I mean, there are some guys out
there. What do you have to pay
there?
Jesse Chavez to bring him back? And I mean, is it worth it?
What did he make this year, $1 million?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. And I was telling Tony, I mean, he said it's either this or I'm done. So you could
That was an emotional.
Nothing his way, right?
That was when he was emotional. You're telling me that if somebody picked up the phone and said, hey, Jesse, it's the pick a team. Minnesota Twins, we'll pay you $5 million a year.
You may be right. But, I mean, he was the last one.
He made $1 million a year this past year.
I could see like a Brian Dunsing deal a year ago when Dunsing, the market didn't take place what he thought, and then Cubs brought him back for 2 years, $7 million. I could see that early on for Chavez. Now, $7 million might seem like a lot, but it's 3.5 a year for a guy that could throw 70 to 80 innings out of the bullpen, also be a potential, you know, backup in the rotation.
But did he catch lightning in a bottle and all of a sudden he's going to come in here and be Brian Dunsing of 2018?
It's possible, but everything that he did was looked more sustainable than what Brian Dunsing did in 2018. I mean, he was really good for the Rangers out of the bullpen even before coming to the Cubs. It was, Kelly, you and I talked to Jesse. He feels that it was back to lowering the arm slot a bit. Then he got a little bit more movement. It was like 92, 93 up there as opposed to like the 90, 91 miles an hour he was throwing before. It's only a couple mile an hour difference, but this is a guy that pumps strikes all the time. And with a little bit of movement. Yeah, I mean, he's not going to have a 1-1-5
ERA again. You
could
get him for 2 years for $6 million, 3-3.
And they're off the hook of Justin Wilson now.
He won't be back.
No, well, thanks for pointing that out.
I mean, he throws 96 miles an hour.
And couldn't figure it out in 2 years.
And they need
lefties.
I like
Justin Wilson, but he couldn't figure it out in 2 years. I just can't imagine. And then what do you do with Mike Montgomery if you have a starting rotation that's healthy?
I think he's a piece
that could be moved?
He could be, but, I mean, I think it's – he goes back to the pen, but we've seen, you know, more and more if he keeps they keep using him like that. He's already expressed publicly multiple times that he doesn't want to do that. So, yeah, I mean, maybe he's a piece that has moved, as well as potentials like Caratini, Schwarber, Happ. There's a lot that could change.
It's
a
so
lot.
Much. That's what
I think it's going to be the most impactful offseason since Theo and Jed have been here.
Since getting John Lester?
That was a big one.
I could see it.
And the one thing that it was clear from Theo's unimpressed comments, they are not shy about making changes. They know that there's problems, and they're willing to address any issues that you can. Any other issues that you really want to see the Cubs come in during this offseason? I mean, it's just so different because we talk about leadoff hitter, but the way Joe addresses his lineup is that it changes on a day-to-day
basis. I could tell you that I've had someone over there in power say to me, we might want to play a set lineup a little bit more, and it was said with a tone of enough where you get three hits and you're not in the lineup,
which is interesting because I was surprised at Theo's ending press conference for him to actually come out and say, yeah, guys came up to me and said they weren't happy with that.
I remember Chris Bryant saying something to that effect, and he didn't by any means say in a way that it can be construed as though he was unhappy, but it was sort of like, yeah, I wouldn't mind it being more consistent. But that is why I thought maybe the leadoff hitter is more on that short list than not, because once you get that guy, I think that's what they were tinkering with for so much. He was letting Rizzo do it for a while to try and get him going or whatever. That's Joe's thing, right? And then I'm trying to think of some of the other guys he stuck up there for a while. And
pretty much everybody. You can pretty much name everybody.
And then everyone below was being mixed around. So I don't know. If you get that piece, does it mean things can be more consistent? Or is that just these guys needing to produce consistently in general?
When Joe had Dexter Fowler out there, you know that was one, and then pretty much you're going Bryant, Rizzo, Rizzo, Bryant, depending on the order. And so you're like a third of the way to the set
Joe
lineup.
Does Joe say, go get me that leadoff guy that Cap's asking
so
for?
So about the set lineup, though, I mean, look around baseball. There's no team out there that does a set lineup. There's not one. And look, even in the playoffs, I mean, the Dodgers and Brewers, well, the Brewers keep the top of their order the same, but even the Dodgers and Brewers are changing their lineup all the time. All of a sudden, Dave Roberts is putting Cody Bellinger in the leadoff spot, something he's rarely done, against a lefty, no less. They're changing all the time, and it's because of the matchups as much as anything. So I get what you're saying, and like what I totally understand how these young players would love to just know that they're going to be penciled in the seventh spot every day. But I just don't know that that's as realistic as everybody who wants it to be.
I can tell you the front office wants it.
But then they would have to get rid of a lot of these guys we're talking about, because there's no way you can have Happ and Almora on the bench 5 days a week because all these other guys are out.
Okay, so this guy that I spoke to today said, your guy's problem is there are too much depth there.
And I don't disagree with that.
He
because
they piss guys off when they don't play. He said you need to move some guys out.
They're built for 162, not necessarily for October. Now, I'm not saying that they've had any sort of fallacy where they're not thinking about October, but they're built for 162. They're built for that stretch where they played over a month straight without an off day. But they're not, like, all that depth, it doesn't do them well in October. For 2 years in a row, we've seen that, and that's been proven. So I totally agree with that. I'm buying into more of maybe you should have, like, 10 really good guys, let guys like David Bodie be your backup at pretty much every infield position and go from there.
And didn't we see this back in 2017 with Javi kind of struggle, but then when he was playing 2 or 3 days a week, now then Addison went out with the hamstring, and next thing you know, he's the starting shortstop getting every day playing 6 days a week, and all of a sudden he started taking off in the last month and a half of the season. So there is something. And maybe older players and veteran players are better with, look at Ben Zobrist. Did had a great season playing a couple of days a week, but he understood his role there. Young guys probably need a little bit more at-bats, more consistent at-bats, just to see anything else. And, of course, there's always the future of Joe Maddon. They'll be hanging over everybody's head for
his agent story, came out firing yesterday. It's all stirred up by the media.
Yeah, it's
big,
all our
bad
fault.
Media.
Yeah, exactly. And it's been a roller coaster even when they were winning, going to the playoffs 4 straight times. Just imagine what happened.
I did do some reconnaissance on the rumors that maybe the Angels would take a run at Joe. And somebody who would know said, there is zero chance. Said Billy Epler wants control back. He had Socha doing whatever he wanted. He said they're not paying $6 million to another guy who's going to be a celebrity manager. Not going to happen.
Even in L.A., that's interesting.
That's interesting.
He said the only reason that he thought there was some weight to it, because they didn't pick up the option on their stadium. They want a new stadium. He goes, they got an aging Albert Pujols, an injured Shohei Ohtani. He said, you need a manager that might help you get that stadium deal. He goes, but I don't know if you even know if that's Joe Maddon anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely going to be an interesting offseason. We'll be here to cover it all offseason long. You can always check it out at the new My Team app on your phone. Great place to get streaming and all the latest podcasts and all the latest Cubs news.
That app is awesome, by the way.
Cool. So that's going to do it for this edition of the Cubs Talk Podcast at NBCSportsChicago.com. Stay with us for everything you need to know about the Cubs right here.